listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it, I'm RJ live, 200 stations, coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas. Action packed Tuesday for you. And yes, the mystery continues. We'll talk about that in a second. First, though, recapping yesterday's action. We're going to do an extended look. Four games tonight in the NBA. The whole second half of the show, breaking those down, talking about the bigger storylines around those games. Also, some draft odds. Who's going number one? You listen to one group. Oh, Arizona's not taking Murray. Another group, 99.9%. Someone's got to be wrong. Who does Vegas agree with? Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. In studio, there's a seat empty, and there's Brad Powers. All the college knowledge will leverage that for the NFL draft. Also doing some good NBA work. Jonas, another day, Fez is gone. Now, here's the question. Is this his normal senior day, which he takes every Tuesday for rest, napping, you know, wearing white shoes to the early bird special?
I've lost track of his schedule. I mean, he threw everybody off yesterday by no-showing after his team went down 3-1, and now I'm lost.
Missing due to losing action is what I like to call it. And again, the speculation is that his double down, Steve Fezzik, on Oklahoma City, which seems to look pretty bad. He bet him down 0-2. They won a game. They lost the game. When you're down 0-2, that's not good. That maybe that kept him away. Comeuppance, he didn't want to hear about it. Let's just hope for everyone's sake, the gambling listeners across the nation, that somehow OKC wins tonight. And I think if so, I guarantee we'll see Fezzik tomorrow with his little opie grin talking about he's right in this thing.
I look forward to it.
Now, last thing, we had it yesterday. The LA producers thought this was an important enough story. We've got Fezzik's theme song. We haven't. I mean, Brad, have you heard from him?
I have not heard from him at all. That's not like, I usually hear from him 2-3 times a day.
Wednesday, 6 o'clock Eastern is going to be a big moment in show history.
Guys, we do start here on Straight Out of Vegas with those NBA playoffs, and we're going to go right to what we saw last night in Houston, or last night in Utah, rather, where the Houston Rockets still have a 3-1 series lead, but they were hammered by the Utah Jazz 107-91 last night in Salt Lake.
Yeah, we talked about it. Teams down 0-3 tend to fold. History says it. The way the lines move, if you looked at the lines in Game 3, compared to Game 4, when it was a sweep situation. Now, it's Game 3 and 4 is at the same venue. It's going to be the non-home team, home field advantage team. So, in this case, Utah. And we saw the lines adjust. We've had three possible sweeps, right?
Yes.
Well, I guess four now. Milwaukee, Boston,
Houston,
and that's it.
Yep.
Okay. And what we saw in those three was the line moved to the disadvantage of the 0-3 team. So away from them by what, like 4 to 6 points?
Yep.
But Utah still wins.
They do.
What did you see?
Well, first and foremost, the first three quarters of the game, RJ, actually going right to Vegas expectation. Houston was a 3-point favorite. Houston, after three quarters, led by three. In the fourth quarter, Houston had one of the worst shooting performances that they've had all season. In fact, for the game, Houston shot 35%, RJ. They haven't shot that low in 75 games. You got to give credit to Houston, to Utah for playing a good fourth quarter, but I chalk it up more a bad one quarter for Houston. I didn't downgrade them that much at all.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're not supposed to sweep, right? And especially when you're the four seed,
yep,
you're not necessarily supposed to sweep. So Utah, and also, and maybe, listen, this is what we got to ask ourselves. Is this an old cliche? The idea that Jazz, you know, they've got high character. They, there's a, religious connection, I think, to the state of Utah, Salt Lake City. And there's a sense of, like, these guys are going to play hard. They certainly did under Coach Sloan with Stockton and Malone. Now, should we have considered that? Because let's be candid. You take a team like the Sixers, that in my opinion, the team's cohesion, the chemistry, maybe even the character isn't great. I'm not talking about any individual player necessarily, but collectively. If they're in a spot they can lay down 0-3, are they more likely, the 76ers, let's say hypothetically, than a team like Utah?
No, I would say Utah's more likely.
To lay down?
Oh, no. The Utah is not more likely to lay down. The 76ers would be a team that's more likely to lay down. But it wasn't a question of effort, RJ.
But the fact that they were even tied or almost tied entering the fourth took a lot of effort on Utah's part.
It did.
Because they could listen, they know very unlikely that they're going to win the series. So right now you can bet the Rockets and the Jazz. $1 on the Jazz wins you $20. So 20-1 underdogs, even after winning the game yesterday.
On the Houston side, I thought it was a big missed opportunity, RJ. Keep in mind, looks like Houston's going to play Golden State in the next round, and Houston, had they won and closed out last night, would have had a two-day rest advantage over Golden State, who doesn't play until tomorrow night.
So you think it looks like they're going to play Golden State?
Yeah.
Well, let's just say this. And this is an interesting contrast. So we got the Clippers down 3-1 against Golden State. If you bet a dollar on the Clippers and they win the series, $200. $200. I've never seen a 3-1 team 200-1.
No.
Now, on the other end, and this might, if Fezzik's listening, this is cause for optimism. Thunder down 3-1, a dollar on them wins you $5.35. So 100 wins you $5.35. So think about that a second. We got two teams down in a 3-1 series. 100 on the Clippers wins you $20,000. $20,000 for 100, and 100 on the Thunder wins you $535. They're both down 3-1. So I would make the case the Thunder, probably the best odds I remember seeing on a team down 3-1, only getting like 5-1 back. And the Clippers, the worst odds I've seen at 200-1 on a team down 3-1.
Guys, the Milwaukee Bucks are on to the next round of the playoffs after Milwaukee took care of Detroit last night. 127-104, a 4-0 series sweep for the Bucks.
Yeah, and this has been total domination. Now, we got this one right. Our theory.
Your theory, RJ.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't want to say it. That's why you're here, Brad. But the theory we all agreed to. I think Faz was a little skeptical,
to be honest.
Is it's almost like, not that I grew up in a small town, but we were in the city, right? There was those guys out on the hill that had farms, outhouses. I don't know what you probably were out in that crap.
I was in the outhouse.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there, but I don't know much about horses or, I bet on horses. That's about it. Don't take that big long shot in the key race. It's a little advice. But to me, it felt like almost like a young horse that gets to run out in the open field for the first time. Is that horse going to be getting tired? Is that horse going to be worried about eating a little hay or grass or whatever they eat? No, he's stretching those legs. And it feels like this Milwaukee team, both because they're playing a modern offense now and it's fun, and with Giannis and just the youthful enthusiasm of Milwaukee, I felt like they would extend leads. And that's what we saw in every game in this series.
Yeah, so Milwaukee won by 24 points per game. That is the second largest margin in any playoff series sweep in the history of the NBA
playoffs. Just sweeps.
So second largest there. And more impressive to me, RJ, okay, they won by 24 points per game, but what were the lines? The lines had Milwaukee favored by an average of 13 points per game. So Milwaukee exceeded expectations, that being the Vegas line, by double digits every game.
Yeah, so think about this. 4-0 straight up, obviously. You said it, Milwaukee by about 24 points straight up margin. Against the spread, they covered the game by about 11 points per game. So Vegas, everyone talks about how smart Vegas is, and it's true. It's hard to beat us. Vegas was short. If they would have said, oh, you know that line? Add 10 points to it. That it would have been about expectation. Yep. And over four games, Milwaukee scored 44 more points than expected. If they would have pushed every game versus what they did, so they exceeded expectation of Milwaukee by 44 points in the series.
That's incredible.
That is strong. That is as strong as you're going to see. Which brings up to me a very interesting point. If you look at the odds in the East, my gut instinct initially would be Milwaukee's here and everyone else is a level down. The Bucks are plus 120 to win the East. So 100 wins, you 120. The Raptors are plus 180. Not that different. Celtics plus 300. The Sixers plus 750. I think that's the story. Because Bucks have to play Boston. And the betting market is saying Boston is clearly better than the 76ers. Once the Raptors wrap up this series as expected, they're going to play the lesser team, the Sixers. So to me, if it ends up being Milwaukee and Toronto in the Eastern Finals, I think Milwaukee, not only going to have home court, will be the clear favor.
Yep.
But I think it's a little deceiving, the East odds, because wouldn't you agree Milwaukee has the tougher second-round matchup?
Yeah, there's no question about it. Vegas feels that Boston is superior to the 76ers. So the expectation, Milwaukee's going to have two really tough series where Toronto might not have as tough as time with the 76ers.
And I tend to agree with that. When we come back, we're going to be talking the NFL. Big trade today to Kansas City. Also, a lot of disparate information about who's going to be the number one pick. We will tell you the odds.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will have a major move that went down in the NFL earlier today.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now in the Strip, the temperature, 87 degrees, air conditioning weather. The neon is sizzling. Let me ask you a question, Jonas. I heard Colin today. It was almost like a hostage video. I mean, Brad, you listen most every day. Did you hear today's show?
I did not today.
Now listen, everyone that listens to Straight Out of Vegas knows that there's some feud. Feels like a one-way feud. You know, like someone like being mad at Bob Barker on The Price is Right, you know, from his couch kind of thing, like sending letters. But the rumor around Fox is Jonas and Colin just don't get along. And Jonas is often taking digs at him and all that. Personally, you know, I would say Colin's been my mentor in this business.
This is where I go. I go to Vegas via the Coward Global Satellite Network, RJ Bell, pregame.com.
I mean, great support from him. And it was so weird because we were a little hard on him yesterday with Westbrook, how he seems to have disdain for him. He spent the first like 5 minutes of the show talking about, you know, I don't blame Westbrook. You know, he's just a human being. It was almost like someone snatched up one of his relatives and said, you better be nice to Westbrook or you're in trouble. I mean, did you hear it today, Jonas?
Yeah. I mean, look, there's he's been pretty rough.
Do you hear what's in Jonas's voice?
On Westbrook. And I think he's trying to maybe, in looking back, thinking, well, maybe it was a little bit too hard. And maybe it's just sort of...
Do you think Straight Out of Vegas had anything to do with it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think he actually knows who the hell I am, but he knows who you are. So if you said something, I'm sure he heard it.
You know, it's true. I mean, I when I do bring you up trying to mend the fences, he just keeps saying, who? But, you know.
The Conor McGregor, who the F is that guy? Yes, exactly. Guys, we had a trade earlier in the NFL. The Seattle Seahawks sent defensive end Frank Clark to the Kansas City Chiefs. In return, Seattle picks up Kansas City's first-round pick this year, which is 29th overall, and a 2020 second-round pick.
You know, here's the dirty secret about Vegas. And to me, it's something we should be proud of. Most Vegas guys, the good ones, the winners, are great aggregators of other people's information. You can originate some, but you can't. Listen, when Greg Cosell, who spent the whole NFL season doing weeklies with us, has 40 years of history, experience with tape, he's spending 40-plus hours. Well, that would have been cute. 40 years? Over 40 hours a week in the film room, he can have that trademark, is it's something that I can't match. Because if I'm in that film room, one, I don't have 40 years of experience, and two, I'm not doing a bunch of other things. And when you're watching the spring games, Brad Powers, how many spring games in college football do you typically watch a year?
Close to 50.
50?
50. Jesus.
I mean, you're not dating anyone right now, right?
No, I'm not.
I mean,
women weaken legs.
You know, let's just say stay the course. I mean, you know, spearmint rhino's there if you need a little 2-hour break. But I mean, how can I do that, Jones? I can't. So what I'm going to give you is my first thought on this Clark. But let's call this my RJ's first instinct, with an eye towards how people respond in the next 24 hours, because I'm going to read my guys. Here's what I think. The film guys that I follow on Twitter, I trust, and one or two I texted with, they say Frank Clark is the real deal. This is an elite D-end, and Kansas City got a very good defensive player. Let's be candid. Defense was a big issue last year. Fired the D.C., the Chiefs did, etc. But here's the thing. Chiefs sent the 29th pick in the draft. They're exchanging third rounders, so that's a slight advantage to KC. And then next year, a second rounder. And think about Belichick. Belichick values those second rounders like gold just because of the contract, how cheap they are, but they're still really good players. Now, you might think, well, when you trade for someone and give up that much, but really, the odds of getting a player as good as Frank Clark, someone might be saying out there, coast to coast, you're probably not going to get that guy with the 29th pick. So this is a great trade. Even with the second rounder. If Frank Clark was on his rookie contract, I would agree. Mm. And it wasn't even that they had him. Because here's the thing that the Steelers did with Brown, which probably caused some of the problems. They signed him, wide receiver Brown, very early in his contract. Now, I know there's limits to how early they can do it. They signed him about as early as they could. And the theory was, we'll get you at a discount because you're going to get your money like 2 years early. So Frank Clark's getting, and this is not a typo, $63 million guaranteed with this contract. The total five-year deal, $105 million. As Bobby Axelrod says, 105 sticks.
Wags, 5 sticks wired now to Wendy Rhodes' personal account.
That's when you're cool, Brad. When you call a million a stick, that's when you're cool. 105 sticks for Frank Clark. And by Pro Football Focus, one of their guys said on Twitter, that's more money than we expected him to sign, you know, with
Seattle.
Seattle. And to me, and I'm just thinking, well, wait a minute. He wasn't signing the, you know, the franchise deal. So there was some kind of dispute. But if he's going to get his 5-year deal a year early, you think they're going to get him at a discount. So on one hand, Kansas City got a good defensive player, and they need him.
Yep.
On the other hand, they gave up a first this year, gave up a second next year, and they're not getting a discount. They could have signed a guy like Frank Clark just as a free agent. When Sue went to Miami, they paid a boatload, but they didn't give up. I mean, I guess you have compensatory picks, but that's all first rounders. This just feels like they paid twice. They paid with the draft choices, the Chiefs, and now they're paying with a premium contract. It just strikes me as an overpay. Jonas, what's your thoughts?
I think that Seattle got the better of the deal just based on the fact that they were able to trade away and get immediate help in the draft this year with the first-round pick, and then on top of that, added on a second-round pick. So I like the move more for Seattle than I did for Kansas City.
Yeah, but in a weird way, this isn't, you know, in game theory, they talk about a zero-sum game, which means imagine a poker game with no rake. In the end, if me and if Fezzik somehow returns and Brad are playing, and we all start with $10,000. In the end, if Fezzik has $15,000, it came from me and Brad. When you add it up, it adds up to zero. I don't think this is that, because I think that Seattle wasn't going to sign. I mean, after signing Russell Wilson, I don't think they had a $63 million guarantee for a DN in their future. No. So the fact that they got a first round and second round pick, pretty good haul for him. I agree. I mean, we're talking about Josh Rosen. Can they get a second for him?
Jimmy G, a second round pick.
Oh, that, I mean, in hindsight, I mean, who knows what Belichick, I mean, I don't question the genius, but wow, you're right. So it was a great haul, but I thought not only did Kansas City give up that, but in a way, if Seattle somehow got some of this money, it would be a double great haul. They're not, but Kansas City's paying it out. So I think it was a good move for Seattle, but it feels like a double whammy against Kansas City.
Yeah, I would agree. There was a lot to the move. Kansas City needed help defensively. They've restructured the defense, so they add Frank Clark.
Well, and last thing, you don't build. Like, tell me the last Super Bowl champion in which it's the defense is built around one guy getting 63 sticks. I mean, it's usually, you know, when you see those big signings in every, I don't know, in 5 years, there might be four every 5 years in which it's like, wow, Sue got that much, or the cornerback got that, you know, Josh Norman got that much. Do they ever work out? It's not only don't those teams tend to win Super Bowls, those contracts tend to, I don't know if it's something about defense and having all that money in the bank, because you got to be tenacious. You're getting beat up. You know, I mean, are you really grinding with 63 mil? I mean, maybe Frank Clark is, but again, you two, Brad Powers, Jonas, you watch as much sports as anyone I know. Combined, it's double. Tell me a gigantic defensive signing that really worked out exceptionally well for the NFL team in the last 5 or 7 years.
I can't.
Yeah, you can't. You got to build through the draft. That's been the model. If you're going to pay a quarterback, you got to build cheap through the draft and hope you went on a rookie deal with a lot of these guys.
Now, if it was somehow, if it was the Saints feeling like Breeze got one good year left, let's go all in. But what is the clock on Kansas City? They got Mahomes for multiple years on his rookie deal. Right? They're going to have a 50-year option on them. So 3 more years.
Yep.
So this idea of, because I saw someone on Twitter going, all in Chiefs, way to go. All in for what? You want to play the next 3, 4, 5 hands. you know, each year, one hand a year, as opposed to going all in now. I want to see what people think. I'm a little down arrow on it. When we come back, we're going to tell you, just a minute, we're going to tell you who's favored to be the number one pick in the draft.
That's coming up next, but for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Beyer.
In addition to the Seahawks swinging that deal with the Chiefs today, sending Frank Clark to Kansas City for a first, second, and a swap of thirds, there could be another new contract given. While Clark was given a five-year extension worth more than $105 million to play in Kansas City, ESPN says the Steelers and quarterback Ben Roethlisberger are working on an extension for the quarterback and hope to get something done prior to the start of the NFL draft on Thursday. The Rams picked up the fifth-year option on the contract of quarterback Jared Goff. Chargers did the same with defensive end Joey Bosa. And a judge in Florida says the videotape allegedly showing Patriots owner Robert Kraft at a massage parlor can't be released now because it could taint a jury pool. However, that tape could be released to the public at a later date. Some news from the NBA. Multiple reports say that Jason Kidd interviewed with the Lakers for their head coaching vacancy. Lakers expected to meet with Juwan Howard today after meeting with Kidd yesterday. Four game fives tonight in the NBA playoffs, while the Stanley Cup playoffs have two game sevens. Tigers beat the Red Sox today by a score of 7-4. While the NCAA Rules Committee approved rules to strengthen targeting penalties in college football and also approved a recommendation to change the overtime format entering the fifth overtime. Once the teams play four overtimes, instead of starting over at the 25-yard line, teams will alternate two-point conversion plays until a winner is decided. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a closer look at all the action tonight in the NBA. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
I got to be honest, I'm not often jealous, but Jonas's ability to do those 20 or 30 second newsy intros, unmatched, I think, in my whatever Colin says, I think unmatched. The number one pick, Mel Kiper's on one side, CBS reporter on the other. Give us that Jonas Knox magic.
Yeah, Mel Kiper says 99.9% the number one pick is going to be Kyler Murray going to the Arizona Cardinals. Pete Prisco of CBS is saying that he has heard that now the Cardinals are backing off of Kyler Murray, that early on the interest was to try and boost some buzz going in the area, sell some tickets, so on and so forth. So you've got Kiper versus Prisco. What are the odds say in Vegas, though, RJ?
But you sell those tickets and then you don't deliver. Mm. That seems like that's not a good long-term plan.
No.
Sounds like the hot dog stand that's moving two blocks down the street when they sell those old dogs, Manhattan style. Listen, we got the odds. This is objective. And literally we got this report within the hour updated. And we're just going to go across various online books. Kyler Murray to be the number one pick for Arizona, minus 350 at one book, minus 600 at the other, minus 450, minus 1,000. So you could say minus 500 is a pretty good average. So you're saying over 80% chance that Murray goes to Arizona. Let's be specific. Will be the first pick in the draft. If somehow someone trades up, they still take him one, yep. You still win your bet, first pick in the draft. So I'll tell you, Brad, it feels like Vegas or the online books are splitting the difference here. If it's 99%, you're not going to be laying 400 or 500. You're going to be laying much, much more.
Yep.
If it's less than 50%, obviously you're not going to be laying anything. If the CBS guy's right, it feels like they're saying, we're leaning with Kiper, we're leaning with the yes, but we're not going to make it that extreme, which to me is a great betting opportunity. You can have an opinion on this one. If you think it's extremely likely, laying minus 350, and that's available on Murray to go number one, is a great bet. And if you think that it's less than 50%, then obviously you're looking at Nick Bosa, and you can get upwards of 4 to 4.5 to 1 on Boza being the number one pick. So really, Vegas, the online books are giving you a choice based on your opinion. You either got to like, if you have an opinion on this, you got to either like Murray to go number one in the minus 350 range or Bosa to go number one in the 4.5 to 1 range. Thoughts?
Let me think about this. Let's do some simple math. Could you bet both and lock yourself into a profit?
Well, if it's impossible for anyone else to go number one.
But I mean, from everything we have read, it's either going to be
still hear him talking about Williams.
Okay.
And right now, Williams is in that, actually, Williams is only in that 7-8 to 1.
Yeah.
So that's what like the bridge jumpers, they call them in horse racing, do. Right, figuring, don't let this unlikely thing happen. Yeah. It tends to happen. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. Brad Powers with us. Fezzik, AWOL. We'll see tomorrow if he's back, if OKC wins. Let's root for him just for that. In a few minutes, we'll be previewing OKC. Real quick, Brad, you have the college knowledge. Any of these props jump out at you?
The one that does for me is Will Grier. He's the quarterback for West Virginia. And you have
what's the prop?
The prop is his draft position. So you have an over-under number, over meaning he's going to be drafted later. His number is 37.5. I'm going to go over.
So let's think about this. So what you hear after the first round, so there's 32 picks. Oftentimes, there's teams that like to trade up for that 33rd pick or 34th. So the theory is he's not going in the first. He's not going early in the second.
Yep. And it's just basically, I rank the players. I take an aggregate of everyone out there, whether it's Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, everyone that's out there. And I've taken about 10 or 12 different sources, RJ, and I can't find a single source that has Will Grier as a top 80 player. So yes, teams tend to overreach when it comes to drafting quarterbacks. They would be significantly reaching for Will Grier. I'm going over 37.5 Will Grier.
Okay, so later, 38th pick or later. I tell you though, maybe tomorrow we'll talk about this. I have a theory. I don't think any team, if they use proper game theory strategy, can take a non-quarterback in the first round when there's still a viable franchise quarterback on the board. So let's use, for example, the Browns taking, some defensive players or one specific one. Well, I'm having a block on his name. The DN they took a couple years ago.
Miles Garrett.
Yes, Miles Garrett. Thank you. You could say great player, and I would make the case Garrett exceeded expectations a little bit, yep. Right, Jonas?
Yeah, very
even
good.
Though a number one pick. But here's the question. Quarterbacks in Vegas, the difference between a borderline great quarterback, so let's say Big Ben in his prime, and a typical backup is about a touchdown.
Yep.
Right? Brady's been over a touchdown. Peyton Manning's been over a touchdown. Breeze over a touchdown. Andrew or Rodgers over a touchdown, Aaron Rodgers. But the very best non-quarterback in the entire NFL, and I'm talking about the best, is worth a point. So if you have one position where elite is worth, let's say, 7 times as much, how wouldn't another team, and we've seen the Rams, teams trade from 2 to 7 and get like 2 extra first rounders. In a weird way, I mean, you think about what the Eagles are doing, that's based upon a big trade to move up. And the theory is not that if you don't need a quarterback, and let's say Arizona decided Josh Rosen was their guy, it doesn't mean you take Nick Bosa, it means you trade that pick to someone that needs to gain those 7 points. You've got your guy in theory, but if they've got an average quarterback and they end up drafting an elite guy, they've just added 7 points per game, that team. If you draft Garrett and he ends up being an elite D end, you gain a half a point in that case. I mean, I don't think there's any D end worth more than a half.
No.
So it's like 14 times as valuable. So, to me, the teams that have traded back when they didn't like the quarterbacks, so much more strategic than just taking a defensive player. Thoughts?
number one, RJ, I haven't heard anyone talk like this, and I think more teams should adopt this, I would say, terminology, this philosophy. So that's very strong.
Well, listen, Vegas, just follow the neon lights. It will lead you. It's kind of like my true north, the neon lights. It's what guides me. When we come back, boy, is it going to be busy. We got four NBA games, one segment to go. Look out.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted, and it's money-making time next year on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We have got four games in the NBA playoffs, and we get to the one that is tipping off in about 11 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, and it is televised on NBA TV. It is the Magic at the Raptors right now on pregame.com. Toronto, an 11-point favorite, looking to close it out.
Toronto, long history, underperforming in the playoffs. Brad Powers this year feels different.
Yeah, and it's all because of Kawhi Leonard, the alpha dog that Toronto hasn't had in recent playoff memory. I mean, any other year when Toronto
lost... When did Toronto ever have it?
No matter what
memory. You could have a memory like an elephant.
Maybe Chris Bosh. Maybe. Mm. Maybe. Mm. Nothing like Kawhi. And after they fell behind game one early, usually that would have been red flags galore for a Toronto team that's rebounded nicely with three straight wins.
I hear you. But here's the question. How much urgency does Toronto have? On one hand, you could say they traded DeRozan, traded a lot, made a big change for Leonard to do 1 year. Mm. And the question is, if it's going to be, you know, walk across cut glass to win this thing, does Leonard say, you know something? I'm heading to L.A., baby, going to California with an aching in my heart. You know, I don't know, but it feels like in the NBA these days, it's always about the next drama, the next Twitter post. And with Toronto, my sense is that Kawhi's not all in. I mean, he's playing. I'm not saying he's not playing hard. I'm saying if their backs get up against the wall, this is a Toronto team that I'd be a little bit skeptical how much team there is after less than a year together.
Guys, game five between the Nets and the 76ers is at 8 Eastern time on TNT. Philly up 3-1 in the series and on pregame.com, an 8.5-point favorite in this one.
Brett.
And we mentioned this yesterday, what's really helped Philadelphia's focus. And that's come into question. You got a young team that, RJ, you had the theory. Philadelphia, you want to play on them when everything's going well. They're a good front-running team. And the guy that's kept this team focused for the last couple of games in Brooklyn plays on the other team, Brooklyn. Jared Dudley, all of his antics firing up the 76ers, has kept, I think, them focused here, and I think they close out the series tonight.
Yeah, last thing you want to do is give a distracted team reason to focus. Embiid, last two games, over 25 points a game, almost 14 rebounds a game. This is a single-issue handicap. Are the Sixers motivated to close out? If so, Sixers. Do they feel like they got some breathing room? Nothing is more dangerous with a team that can be flat than thinking, we don't really need to win this one. That's the question in this Sixers-Nets game.
The Spurs and Nuggets are tied at two games apiece, and Denver tonight is a 5.5-point favorite at home.
Yeah, got to give Denver credit here. They were down big in game two.
In the third quarter.
They were down pretty big in game four, won both of those games. And right now, San Antonio is an underdog. The series started Nuggets minus 250. Now the Nuggets are minus 170. So the Spurs are in a better spot than they started the series. But remember, when you have one team with home court advantage, the deeper in the series you get, the more important home court is. Right? Because that last game is one of seven to start the series. Right now, that Nuggets advantage is one of three. Now it's two out of three in Denver. Spurs got to win one of them.
In a game we will all be monitoring closely on this show, it is the Thunder at the Trailblazers, a 10:30 Eastern time tip on TNT. And right now, Portland is a 4-point favorite.
Listen, pregame.com research, Mackey really hit a home run on this one. There's been three elimination games for OKC since Durant has left. What's an elimination game? It means if you lose, you're out in those games. Now, listen up. Hold your steering wheel tight because this is going to be like one of those, oh, my, did you hear that, honey, kind of deals. In those three games, Westbrook has averaged 46 points a game. Now, Mackey sent the email out, and he said, my best bet, the Mackey best bet. I've never heard of a Mackey best bet. We're going to give him 10 seconds on the radio. Go, Mackey.
Russell Westbrook over 25.5 points tonight.
It makes sense. I mean, if you have three games and Westbrook is scoring in those three games, he scored 47 points, 45 points, and 46 points. Let me think about this. 46, 45, 40. I think the average is 46. I mean, I'm just doing that right in my head. It seems like the case could be made that we've got a history here that would be hard to buck. I never thought I would say this, but I'm going to RJ Bell endorse Mackey's best bet. It's something new in big red letters. Over Westbrook points, best bet of the night.
If you missed any of today's show, you can check out the podcast, including a full preview on all the NBA action tonight at foxsportsradio.com. We are straight out of Vegas. Back tomorrow, 6 Eastern time, right here on FSR.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.